I need help doing hardwood floors since 99. And I started my company in 04, and the housing boom went down, and pretty much down to just one guy now.
All right. Hey, welcome to the Contractor Fight podcast. Today we have a special edition. A while ago, I mentioned to you that from time to time, I was going to bring on a listener and try to help them with an area of their business. And today I'm excited to bring on Josh Crossman. He's the owner of PTL Hardwood Floors. He's up near Tacoma, Washington, Washington State area there. He's been in business since 2004. He's hovering around this plateau where he just can't seem to get over much over the $300,000 sales mark. He talks about having some issues building a team and some things like that. So we dig into some low-hanging fruit in our half an hour or so, 40-minute conversation that we had here. And he's been able to walk away with four or five action items that he needs to report back to me on, and then we're going to report back to the world here in a few weeks or whatever and make sure he's doing the stuff that he needs to do. So I'm sure there's a nugget in here for you that you can take and apply to your business as well, and all that stuff. Also, I make mention in the interview that we were talking about the Contractor Fight private Facebook group, which he is also a member of. It is a free group, other than the fact that you need to own your crap within 24 hours or we kick you out. And there's a pinned video in there that tells you how to do that. So I want to invite you to head over to the Contractor Fight private Facebook group and get a little bit better. Own your crap, build some relationships with some other contractors that are all striving to get better and all that good stuff. So anyway, with that being said, here you guys go to get to eavesdrop on a conversation, a little coaching call I had with Josh Crossman of PTL Hardwood Floors here today. All right. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you later.
You know, Josh Crossman, my company name is PTL Hardwood Floors. I'm based in Washington State, a little town called Yelm is where we are based out of, but we work pretty much Pierce County, Tacoma, if you guys know Washington. So I've been doing hardwood floors since 99, and I started my company in 04, and ups and downs. You know, I had up to six guys at once, you know, in 05, 06, during the housing boom, went down, and pretty much down to just one guy now for the last year. I had a couple guys before that. And it's been, you know, doing my thing. I love wood flooring. I have a passion for it. I've been certified, trained. We have an association called National Wood Flooring Association. They do training. I'm heavily involved in the trade and talking with other guys. And so I love, you know, the technical aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But I also love the business side of doing things. And learning the business is fascinating to me. And so last couple years, I've been really trying to focus on that more, because I spent most of my career, you know, learning the technical aspect of the trade. And now it's time, like, I really got to hammer down, focus on the business. I'm getting older, you know, and so I've been that, you know, we gross about $300,000 a year. We do, you know, roughly 120 jobs a year, I believe, on average. And, you know, we're on the upper end of our market. There's definitely a lot of guys that do a lot cheaper than us. Mm-hmm. But we do a really nice job, nice quality. And that's what I focus on, is just doing a really nice product for our clients, because I love wood flooring. So I want to do good, but I was like, I know there's more out there. I know we can do more. You know, like I said, I'm getting older. My body's breaking down. I got to start thinking of the future and what am I going to do, you know, because I can't do this when I'm 80.
Yeah. Yeah.
My body won't.
you ain't gonna be doing it in another 10 years, you know? So, cause I know you said you're almost 40, right?
Yeah, I'll be 40 in April.
Okay. Cool. So real quick disclaimer for you and for anyone listening to this, our intent here today is to help you with, you know, at least one thing that you can walk away with and put put your focus on. I know there are a lot of moving parts to a business. I can't fully understand your business in about a half an hour. Okay.
Right.
So yeah. My goal here today is to really just try to identify some low-hanging fruit, some things that I think can help you get over that plateau, help you be more profitable, and some things like that. And I guess the other disclaimer here is, and I know you've listened to the show and things like that, that Josh, are you okay if I'm 100% honest with you and call it like I see it today?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I got thick skin, so.
Okay, good. So
I bowl with it. Be honest. Yeah, be brutal if you have to.
Okay, so. So I'm going to read just a couple of things you sent in the email just to give some context. You did a good job of going over most of it, but you said, I'm at this glass ceiling, never been able to break through the low 300 mark. And then you said, I also suck at building a team despite being easy to work for. And then later on, I had asked you, all right, hey, you know, list for me what you think your top three issues are that you're having in order of importance to you. And again, you said, you know, I don't know what I don't know. How come I can't break past 300 gross? Number two, employees. How do I find and build a team that does top-notch work in a highly skilled trade that both physically taxing and takes years to master? And then your third thing is, how do I find big jobs, more profit in the bigger jobs, but I rarely get the chance to bid on them? These are jobs over 20K. I've never done a job for over 30, and I want to do a job for 50,000 this year. I asked you to send me some of your goals. So this was a couple week email thread that you and I had going on. And so in 2018 here, you want to do $500,000 at a 50% gross margin. You want to have a two-man crew going. You want to be home by 5 o'clock at night. You want to do a job for over 50 grand. You want to win Wood Floor of the Year from NWFA. Systemize your business and have 100 grand in the bank. Okay, so some good stuff. Sounds like you have a little bit of clarity, huh?
Yeah, I've set some targets. You know, I listened to Grant Cardone, and you know, he's set big targets. So
yeah. Well, listen, the good news is it's doable. The other good news is all you got to do is focus on the things that you have control over, and so. And that's, you know, your mindset, that's knowing your math, knowing your numbers, learning how to sell, learning how to market and some things like that. So I'm going to get a couple things out of the way here real quick. This is where I'm just going to be honest with you. I want you to forget about doing a $50,000 job right now. I want you to put it out of your mind that you need to do big jobs. Okay. And here's why. I want you to focus on hitting base hits, and turning a base hit into a double. Because when you told me that you did 120 jobs or so a year, that puts your average job size at around $2,500, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'd love you to do is really focus on raising your telling a better story in your marketing and in your branding, telling a better story of the type of work you are and who you are and what you stand for and things like that. And then learning how to sell better so that you can turn that $2,500 job, you know, into a average job size of $3,000, because that puts another 60 grand in your pocket right there. So that's some low hanging fruit is your average job size. You do some beautiful work. And I think the first thing was just, I'm fine with you having a big job here and there, but I see a lot of times guys get, we get enticed by these opportunities to have really big jobs. And we think that's going to be the game changer for us, when in reality, it's just getting on base every day. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I shoot for the big jobs just because it's just a personal, like, oh, I did this really big job. You know, those things I like to do personally, you know, like just for fun, my own. I've seen that the numbers, I'm just like, man, big jobs, you know, bigger profit. There's one less customer I have to sell. You know, that's the way I look at it too, is, you know, I see, you know, a $20,000 job is only one client, whereas, you know, the $2,500 jobs are, you know, 10 clients to win.
And I'm 100%, I'm 100% with you. For clarity here, I have no problem doing big jobs. The problem is I've watched too many guys lose their business, go bankrupt, and this and that, because their ego gets in the way and they're chasing the big job. They want to be able to drive through town. It happened to me. You know, one of the first jobs I ever did as a young painting contractor, I charged $28,000 and it cost me $45,000 to do it. And I about lost everything, but I was able to drive by that house and go, I did that house. It was a really big job and it stroked my ego, but it put me in the poorhouse. And so had I focused on being a little more efficient, getting a little, you know, raising my gross profit, my average job size, bettering the experience for all those 10 or 12 other customers a month, that would have done a lot more than for me and my business than having the big job. So, so again, context of our call here today, understand I'm not, you know, I mean, a minute ago I said, let's find a way to raise your average job size. Cause it, you know, that's going to help you, but, just don't get lulled in by don't let your ego take over because you just want to do a big job. At the end of the year, you want to hit your goals. You want to have $100,000 in the bank. You want to pay yourself. You want to be home by 5 o'clock, you know, and stuff like that. So the second thing that I'm just going to come right out of the gate, and I don't want to spend a lot of time, but dude, we need to put a match on your website and blow it up. It does not represent the type of work that a high-end hardwood guy would do. Just not visual enough. It tells a story. There's a ton of text. There's nothing sexy about it that visually grabs me. And I'm not a web designer. I'm not claiming to be an SEO guy or anything like that. I'm not even talking about whether it's being found or not. I'm just saying visually when I go there and then I look at your social media platforms and, you know, things like that, it's not telling the consistent story. Cause I go to your Facebook page and I see nice work, but I go to your website and I don't see anything. Okay. So again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but that's, you know, part of you hitting your goals is going to be telling the right story, with your marketing. And so I would encourage you to make sure that you're looking at your website, your cards, your shirts, your trucks, your yard signs, everything's got to be leveled up and consistent and go first rate. Like, just like you want somebody to pay top dollar for you to finish a beautiful floor for them, you should be willing to pay top dollar to, for somebody who's working with contractors, knows how to, you know, brand and, you know, the whole identity thing and all that other stuff. So, again, I don't want to get big into that, but that's kind of my couple things right out of the gate that I just wanted to throw out there for you. So, do you have any questions or anything so far?
No, it makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Facebook, Instagram, easy, you know, snap little pictures up there. Mm-hmm. But Facebook, that website, I need to get somebody to do it because I do it myself. So, when I have time.
and so. You know, listen, you know, the man hours you've put into it and, you know, things like that, you know, a lot of times we step over dollars to pick up dimes, you know?
Right.
So anyway, again, I don't want to beat that up, but so the real issue here, you know, when somebody can't seem to get over a plateau, and I'm going in order of the things that you would like to address. Just don't know what I don't know. How come I can't break past 300 gross? I think a lot of it is the brand image. It's the story you tell. And we've kind of covered that a little bit. The next would be this. And I had asked you this question and you typed me an answer, but I always ask, you know, how are you spending your time and what do you do best in the business? So if you were only allowed to do one thing in the business, from now on, your doctor said you only get 2 hours a day to do something in your business. How would you spend those 2 hours based on what you're best at?
I guess it depends, to grow the business. Well, it would have to be marketing, learning and how to market myself. That's all I had to do. Cause I think off the top of my head.
And so right now in an average week, how much time percentage of your week would you say you spend focused on truly marketing and selling your services?
Not hours, that's for sure. Most of the time spent working on the floor, talking to clients, you know, calls, looking at doing bids. So yeah, marketing is gets thrown in as I get time. It's not a consistent scheduled event that happens.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
I'm so busy, Ryan, trying to get jobs done. Let's keep that hamster wheel moving. You know, I got to get the job done. Got to get the money in. You know, on to the next job. You know, just focus. Get these floors done. Get down to the next one over and over again.
Yeah, so and that kind of ties into the second thing you had was, you know, finding a good employee or two, right? You know,
right.
So I mean, because I've been where you've been. I've been where you've been, but you're on this never-ending, you know, like you said, a hamster wheel. You know, you're just over and over and over. And so what would it look like if I said to you, you know, because you said you have a guy right now, right?
Right.
Working side by side. Good guy, decent work. Good character. Yep, okay.
Yeah. Great. Top notch guy, you know, high integrity, shows up, works hard. So yeah, you know, he's still learning the trade and yeah, I can't fully turn him loose completely. He's getting there though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how long has he worked for you?
I think it's about 4 years now.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Are there any types of jobs right now that you could sell and hand him the paperwork and he could go do if you got him a laborer? Start to finish.
Yeah.
What's that?
Occasionally, yeah.
Okay.
Occasionally, yes.
Yeah. So have you ever heard of Parkinson's Law? Hope it's Parkinson's Law. I'm going by memory here.
Yeah. I think that's right. The time it takes, you give something or fill it up. Is that Parkinson's?
Bingo. Yeah. The time made available is the time that you're going to use basically.
Right, yeah.
And so what I see here with you and your business is you're stuck at this plateau because you're still in the way of everything. You've made yourself available to always work in the field. And listen, there's a period in the business when we're starting out and we're a one-man show and things like that where it's necessary. And I totally get that. But you got a guy who's been with you 4 years. You know, one of your things that you had sent me was like, where is it here? Hold on. Let me find it. I want to read it. How do I find and build a team that does top-notch work? Takes years to master. Well, it sounds like you got a guy who's willing to do that already. Okay. And so, you know, he's been with you 4 years, man. He's crawling around on the floor. It sounds like he's busting his tail. He's, you know, he said he's a good guy. He's got a good character. So just from my vantage point and knowing what I know, the little I know of your business right now, it sounds like you have that right-hand guy waiting to be raised up. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's why I keep pushing them towards. Mm-hmm. I give him, you know, jobs here and there, let him do it, to build up his confidence to take on more responsibility.
What's his name?
Elijah.
Elijah?
Yeah.
Okay. So getting you over the $300,000 plateau and getting you towards these other goals, you're going to need to develop a plan for Elijah. You know, what's the game plan? And I think the first step of that plan is you as the boss man, as the answer man to everything in the company, you're going to need to limit your time available working in the field. Because ideally you're going to get to a point where you're going to spend 80% of your time marketing and selling, and only 20% doing other crap in the business. And I know you're not there yet. You can't start that tomorrow. That's 4 days a week, right? So next week, you're not going to spend 4 days marketing and selling and not work. It's just not going to happen yet. But can you start with 1 day? 1 day a week right now is, you know, the day that I market. Or can you commit, you know, if you look in a, in an average day, let's just take an 8 hour day, right? You know, can you take 2 hours of an 8 hour day, you know, maybe an hour on the front, or, you know, midday, a half an hour, and a half an hour at the end of the day, or whatever it is, you know, and time block it, chunk it. Like, this is when I'm actually going to, and we'll get into, you know, what those actual strategies and tactics of quote unquote doing marketing stuff really means. But can you start working on an exit plan for yourself where you're going to create a daily habit of really doing what a business owner should do, and that's market and sell their business? Because the minute you went into business for yourself, your number one job description became, you know, sell shit. You know,
yeah, right.
That's it. So how does that make you feel if I said 2 hours a day? And I don't mean taking it out of your family time at night. I'm talking 2 hours of the average workday, which puts you at 10 hours a week of focused, pounding in that marketing nail consistently with clarity each day. What's on your mind when I bring that up?
Just have to make it happen. Just do it. Yeah, schedule it. Like I said, if you don't schedule it, then it doesn't get done. I fill that in. I have to physically put that into my calendar, because if I don't, things will fill that time slot with work, mm-hmm. other work, busy work.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's doable. It should be doable.
Hey, how do you know that you're having a sales problem? You know, just because you have a high closing rate and you have work on the calendar doesn't mean that your sales are dialed in. In fact, I've found with the hundreds of people that I've worked with over the years that some of the indicators of having a sales problem are things like tension at home over the finances, or, you know, maybe you're missing deadlines on projects. You can't find and keep winners and grow your team, so you feel like you're starting over every year from scratch building your team. Maybe you don't have an emergency fund set up in your business, or your debt just continues to grow and climb and you never get off that debt hamster wheel. Well, listen, whatever it is for you that you're feeling, take a look in the mirror and really get clear and honest about where you're at with your business, and consider checking out the Contractor Sales Academy. See, it's possible to go from low and unprofitable sales to plenty of high profit work. It's possible to go from having no systems and processes in place, which cost you money, all right, to, you know, creating a well-oiled profit machine. It's possible to go from not being able to find and keep kick-ass people for your team, to go from that to building a strong and growing team of winners. Head to the ContractorSalesAcademy.com, www.ContractorSalesAcademy.com/podcast, and you'll be able to fill out a quick little form and see if becoming part of this kick-butt community is a good fit for you. ContractorSalesAcademy.com/podcast, and I look forward to getting on the phone with you and seeing if the Contractor Sales Academy is a good fit for you moving forward in your business. Talk to you soon. So you've listened to Grant Cardone, you brought him up and some things like that, and so my guess is you've heard the term big rocks before. You ever heard that term?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and those listening, it means, you know, listen, don't deal with sand and pebbles in your week. Deal with the big rocks, the things that are going to be the big chunks of impact in your time. And so for you, it's a mindset shift here, man. It's just seeing that this $300,000 thing is simply a first and foremost, it's a shift in what your big rocks are. Your big rocks up until now, it sounds like, have been, you know, working in the field and getting the jobs done.
Right.
Right. So, which is, of course, that's important. You have to fulfill, you know, what you sell. You have to finish on time. You have to do those things. All right. So what do you think the first, what kind of, from a leadership perspective, what is Elijah going to need from you on a weekly basis if you're going to remove yourself 2 hours a day? How are you going to set him up for success, get out of the way a little bit, and let him grow a little more and take on more responsibility? What's he going to need from you to make that happen?
Pretty much what he needs now is probably an extra hand. That's the biggest thing, because it's, like I said, it's hard demanding work. The equipment's heavy and big, and man, two people on a job is a lot nicer. You know, absolutely. I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner, so I do whatever it takes to get it done, because that's, you know, who we are as business owners, you know. And I know many guys in my position, they do whatever it takes, and employees aren't always the same, and it's, you know, they don't have as much skin in the game, so they need a little extra help.
Yeah.
I set the jobs up, I explained everything out, you know, developing our systems, consistent systems been working on. So, you know, there's no question of what to do on a job. You know, everything's, we always get the same results, and writing those down, we've been working on that, working on making checklists.
Yep.
So I don't have to be there.
Actually, let me let you finish here. So the first thing that he needs from you is he needs a laborer, right? He needs somebody to.
I think that would, yeah, probably benefit him greatly.
And listen, hey, it'd be great if you could find a guy who already knows what he's doing in a perfect world, but bare minimum for Elijah to step up and really be the man that runs the field, that's responsible for the field with your support, your coaching, your mentoring, he's going to need a right-hand guy. Okay. So if you're taking notes or anything like this, this would be one of those things that you put on your execution list. Like, this is my action item thing to do. You know, the first thing would be block out the time each day that you're going to do shit each week. Okay. This is when I'm going to put in time to do Instagram before and afters on jobs, or shoot a quick minute video or whatever it is, or I'm going to go to reach out to some influencers and build relationships with, you know, that stuff, or write a blog or whatever you're going to do. Okay. All those tactical marketing things. But then after that, it's support Elijah by getting him help. What else does he need from you? I got a couple things on my mind here that I think will really help, but you know, you know him more than I do, obviously.
Right. He has everything available to him that I can think of. Mm-hmm. So he has all the tools, he has all the materials he needs, you know, everything physically to get the job done, he has.
Okay.
That's what I think of.
All right.
Let's see what you have.
All right. You want to hear what I have to think or have to say here?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I think you need to sit down with him and ask him what he needs. Okay? But do it in the context of this. Dude, we're at this plateau. You've been with me 4 years. I'm so grateful for you. I got a lot of vision for you. And the only way that we're going to accomplish our goals and our vision and have a better life and all make more money and all the stuff that we're trying to do is if I scale this business and if I get out of the way, because as long as I'm in the way, you're not going to grow. So you're coming at it from this, you know, paint a picture of the future. And then talk about what an ideal outcome looks like. Define, hey, you know, Elijah, if we're doing the Reber floor, you know, any floor that we do, what are 3 or 4 non-negotiable ideal outcomes that we should expect? All right. So Josh, tell one outcome that comes to your mind right out of the gate is what? Give me one non-negotiable outcome.
There's no callbacks.
Okay. So.
Oh, that's just deadly.
Yeah. No callbacks. Or, you know, for me and my companies, it was always that this is the best experience a client's ever had with a contractor. And we had grade cards. And our, you know, so the only right outcome of the grade card was we got an A. Nothing less than an A. Okay, that's what we judged our crew leaders on. Did you deliver a phenomenal experience? Did we finish the job on budget, you know, the man hours and material, right?
Right.
And it was done safe, you know, safe and with integrity. And so whatever your outcomes are, you and Elijah got to be 100% on the same page. And so he knows, you know, you got 3, 4, 5 things, whatever it is. And every week you guys sit down and have a meeting and you job cost the job. You go through, you talk about it, you evaluate the customer's feedback, however you're going to do that. And you can look each other in the eye and you can go, okay, yes, this was either this was our expected outcome or it was not our expected outcome. No gray area. Okay. So once you establish those clear outcomes with him and make him part of the process, here's the magic. Now you're going to ask him, dude, what do you need from me to pull that off every job? What do you need for me to make it happen? Because what you're doing is now, instead of you always having the answers and going, hey, here's the checklist, here's the system, here's the thing we're doing, you are making him think. You're making him dig into his brain, his experience, his 4 years with you. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised when you give him an opportunity to really go, this is what I need. And then whatever he says he needs, you give it to him. Take away all the excuses and you give it to him. Okay? So you with me so far on those things?
Yep. Yeah, right. I'm scrambling notes down.
Any of that freak you out?
Nope. I'm not scared of challenge. That's all pretty simple stuff.
Okay, is it hard for you to get out of the way?
No, I would love to get out of the way and just let go. And,
so it'd be fair to say. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, I have no problem letting go of stuff as long as I know it's handled.
Yeah, so it's fair to say that he's in this position, he'd be your foreman.
Right.
Okay. So let's just kind of, this is part of the mindset shift here that a lot of guys struggle with. Why do we hire a foreman? Or why do we hire a sales guy? Why do we hire an admin assistant? Any position in our business, what is the, you know, why do we hire them?
We're handing off one of our hats.
We are solving we have a problem that we're trying to solve. And the problem you have to solve is you're not going to market and sell your business the way you need to, your services, as long as you're involved in the problem of fulfilling the work. Okay?
Right.
So I don't know Elijah. I'm sure he's a great guy, but just to be totally unemotionally attached to this, the only reason he exists in your company as a foreman is to solve the problem of getting jobs done in the manner in which you guys have determine what those outcomes need to be. Okay.
So
first thing is get him a laborer, get him a helper. Second thing is establish those outcomes. Third thing is ask him what he needs to pull that off. And then the fourth thing is gonna be a regular weekly meeting with him and the new guy. Three of you, or anyone else in your company for that matter. And dude, in that meeting, you're giving him total ownership to give an account for what he's responsible for in the business. Okay, so one of the things we teach in the CSA and other one-on-one things I do and this and that is I have three kind of phases to a weekly operations meeting. And the first is the past. The second is the present, and the third is the future. Okay, so I'm gonna give you a quick example here of how I would run this meeting in like 2 minutes. Okay, all right. So we're gonna sit down, and I'm Elijah, and I work for you, and you're going to sit down, you're going to, you know, shake his hand and, hey, you want a cup of coffee and whatever. And it's the same time, same day, every week, like clockwork. You guys don't blow it off. You make it happen. And you're going to say, all right, dude, let's start with the past. What do you got? And you totally give him the floor. And now I'm going to be him. I'm going to go, yeah, Josh, last week I had the Reber project over in such and such town in Tacoma there. It was bid for, 32 man hours. And we finished in 36. I put in a little more time on something for the homeowner I just didn't feel good about. And I reinstalled some baseboard or whatever it was, blah, blah, blah. And she was super happy. Material budget, I was under by $125. Grade card is all A's. I have the final check. We're good to go. Everything's fine. And I told her I'm going to follow up with her in 3 weeks. I put it on my calendar already to just give her a phone call and see how things are looking. So that's the past. That's what we've finished, what's completed, okay? And then I'm going to go to the present. Then I'm going to say, okay, the present, I'm on the Jones job this week. It was bid for 32. Me and Billy, the laborer, we've used 16 yesterday. We're on track to finish. Everything's looking good. We should be done, by 4 o'clock today. I am working on her for an additional upsell for another floor in the house. And if we can do that, I told her I would have to talk to you and figure out if I could just stay and do it tomorrow or if we need to put it back on the calendar. So that's the past. That's the present. And now we get to the future. And this is where you report because you're the sales guy. So now you're going to say, all right, cool. Appreciate that. And this is factual. We're not like, this is a quick meeting. It's, I'll spare all the details for the time's sake today, but we do some other training and some things like that in this meeting each week. But basically you're in and out in 45 minutes. Okay. A week. And then you talk about the future. So you keep your team in the loop. This is all part of building a great culture that eliminates chaos. People hate chaos and they leave companies for chaos. He's been with you 4 years, but I'm telling you right now, if there's too much chaos and uncertainty in his life and his future and his and the work and things aren't growing and this and that, he's going to bail. It's going to happen. So it's important that he understands the future. So this is where you're going to go, all right, hey, I had 17 leads come in this week. I sold 9 jobs, which I'm getting on the schedule, finalizing some things, but it's putting another, month on the books of projects for us. Next week, Elijah, here's the Smith job. All the paperwork is here. She's expecting you to call and set up a time to go out and meet with her before the job and just put eyes on it. And you can introduce yourself and make sure that you understand, everything, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So now you are giving him a clear snapshot of the future, which again is giving him security, giving your team security. And you're also being accountable to them. Cause what if it was like I had 17 leads and I didn't sell anything? Right? You're going to feel like crap about yourself and it's going to put some good pressure on you. So this is a good, gentle pressure accountability meeting for both of you. And you're both giving an account for the area of the business that you're responsible for. Because as long as you're the one doing all the planning and the thinking and all that in the business on the operations side, he's never going to rise up. He's never going to grow. You're not going to be able to spend your best energy and talents and all that stuff on the things that are going to get you above that $300,000, plateau each and every year. Okay. So, all right. What's on your mind right now? I know we're getting close to our time here today. And so if we were to cut, well, we're going to cut the call off here in a minute. All right. So as of right now, when you look at the time that we spent together, what do you walk away with right now going, okay, this is A, this is B, and this is C in order to move my business forward? What jumps out at you?
Yeah, I wrote down my action items, going to block the time from the marketing, figure out my schedule, put it in there, make it happen. Really sit down and have a talk with Elijah. Get him a hand, a laborer, number two, and then yeah, really focus on our meetings. We have I've started a weekly meeting. Mm-hmm. It's gone more into what's kind of, you know, that kind of focus of that, you know, but we kind of drift away to just getting the truck ready and kind of going over the week schedule and what's coming up. Sometimes we review the past week jobs and what we did good and how to improve, but I need to write that more focused and take those things that you said and have a scheduled meeting and actually sit down and not standing at the truck, you know?
Gotcha.
Because then we get off to, oh yeah, let's focus on, you know, this tool needs fixed and we need to load this in the truck and
yeah.
Sit down and do it.
So let me throw this out there. Let me just make sure you understand. Why is it important for Elijah to give an account and to report each week?
So he doesn't slack off. He grows and learns, you know, and so he can see that progress that he's made in his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see that. So he can take responsibility and own, you know, a little more ownership of the job.
Yeah, I mean, anytime that we're, I think the biggest takeaway I want you to get on that part is you're teaching him how to be a thinker. You're teaching him how to be a mini owner in the field, you know, to spot trouble right when it's on the horizon, to problem solve, to think ahead, and all these other things are going to make it a great experience. But the more you make him think, the faster he's going to grow. And the faster he grows, the quicker you're out of the field. You know, the goal here is to make you irrelevant when it comes to doing the work. Like, we don't ever need you ever again to show up on a job site and get on your knees and do a floor.
Right. You know?
Yeah. And so that's important. So dude, here's what I'm going to have you do. See, you outline some things that you need to do. I'm going to ask you to shoot me an email and let me know when you're going to do these things by.
Okay.
When you're going to establish the time blocks and how you're going to plan your week so that you can, you know, do the marketing and sales stuff. You know, cause listen, we didn't even get into this, but I'm telling you right now, you know, through focus on marketing and selling and things like that and telling a better brand story and building relationships and sales training and everything in between, dude, that $2,500 job size is going to go to $3,500, $4,500, $5,500 in the next year. Right. On the same amount of leads, same amount of work, same 120 jobs coming in. And you're not even going to be doing any more work, but you're going to be able to develop yourself and learn how to sell, truly how to sell. I mean, think of all the time that you've spent becoming a craftsman of the floor trade. Okay, now let's put in that same effort becoming a craftsman of selling your services and delivering a great experience. Okay? So
right, yes.
All right, so you're on the hook. Right now it is what are we?
It's cannibal.
We're February 2nd as we're recording this, 2018. When do you think you can have me an email with all the things that whatever you've taken away from this day that you need to implement and do? When do you think you can have me an email that says, okay, this is all the stuff I'm committing to and when I'm committing to it by? And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to follow up with you whenever those times are. And then in a later episode of the podcast, we're going to let the world know if you did your shit or not.
All right. Accountability.
Yeah. So how much time do you need to get your head around all that?
No, I will email you my schedule tomorrow. I have some time blocked out tomorrow morning to do office work. So
okay.
I will put down all my tasks of things to get done. When am I going to do these action items on these days?
Yep. Yeah. So what I'm just looking for in that email is what I'm going to do and by when. Okay. And so,
yep.
You know, like obviously one of them is hire somebody to help Elijah. Well, in order to hire that person, you got to write a job description. So you would be like, okay, I got to write the job description. I need to write the ad, post the ad, all those things, get a date.
Yeah. Okay. Next step, action steps.
You know, and, you know, you reverse engineer it so that, you know, by, you know, May 1st, you got a guy in the field. Okay. Or whatever your target date is. So, it's sitting there waiting for you, man. I'm excited for you because, you know, for spending as much time as you're spending in the field with a two-man crew, you're still banging out $300,000 a year. You know? Yep. And I know last year you know, in your email, you told me you made more money than you've made before because you're more focused on profit and things like that. So this is all good, but imagine, you know, like I said earlier, imagine if you get 5% better in just efficiency and job size, that's another 60-80 grand in your pocket, right to the bottom line. So
yeah,
without you changing a whole lot other than getting the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Like, sounds good. Awesome. I'm ready.
Well, Josh, I appreciate you hanging with us today. I know it takes a lot of humility and courage to come out to the world and go, hey, here I am. Here's my crap. And, but I guarantee this is a great first step for you in, like, you know, in our Facebook group, The Contract Fight, it all starts with owning your crap. And you had the, you've had the maturity and the humility to just come and say, hey, I don't know what I don't know. Or maybe you knew some of this already and you just needed a kick. Whatever it is, you put yourself out there, and I just wanted to appreciate you for that. And we're in your corner, man.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking the time and give me that little kick.
All right, buddy.
We all need it. We all need it.
Awesome. All right, well, Josh, good luck. I'll look forward to that email. Travis, go ahead and bring in the guitars, and we will see you all next time on The Contractor Fight.